Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have my good friend Fred Hicks in the studio from HEG Political Consultants, president and founder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the courts, man. Before the break, you said, hey, this will end up, if he does this, if the president declares a state of emergency, a state of national emergency, this will end up in the courts. Do you think the courts will save America here?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, we're talking off air, Rashad. You know, there's a concept called the unitary executive theory, mm-hmm. right, that holds that the president has the sole power over the executive office, the executive branch, and decisions related to the executive office. And so most people agree with that, and the courts have dealt with this off and on for the last 100 years. The difference comes down to whether you believe in a strong unitary executive or a weak unitary executive. And that's really what this is going to be, this litigation is going to be about. Do you believe the president has the power to, within himself or hopefully one day herself, to decide what is a national emergency or what is not a national emergency based on a political agenda? Or do you believe that there has to be some sort of process through which the president needs to go to make this decision or make this appointment? So I believe that if the president makes the decision tonight to declare this a national emergency and allocate funding for the wall, particularly or specifically if he asks the military to build that, you're going to see lawsuits filed right away and asking for injunction stays. And we saw this, you know, with the travel ban last year, right? And so where you file it makes all the difference in the world. So if you file it in, say, out there in the California circuit, you can probably expect for the courts to say, you can't do that, Mr. President. If you file in the D.C. circuit, you can probably expect the courts to say, yeah, you can't do that, Mr. President. But ultimately, it's going to land at the desk of the feet of the Supreme Court. And they're really going to be looking at this question of what is the power of the president? Do we have a strong unitary or do we have a weak unitary? Now, I'll tell you that Scalia and Thomas have a history already of voting for a strong unitary that says, hey, the president can do whatever the president wants to do. I think that, you know, obviously you'll see the liberal wing vote against it reflexively. And the question will come down to what our old friend Brett Kavanaugh decides to do and what John Roberts, the Chief Justice, decides to
do. It depends on if they're cronies.
Yes, absolutely.
If they're willing to be cronies or not. There's something called, in theory, it's called the vesting clause, mm-hmm. where the executive power shall be vested in the president of the United States. Proponents of the of this theory, this unitarialism basically, says that the language allows for this to happen. Now, what language are we talking about? We're talking about 1787, the Philadelphia Convention, mm-hmm. where that term was adopted, and that term also meant we will have a single president at one time. We will never have a plural leadership government right. in the United States. And so there's an argument to be made. I agree with you that at the end of it, I believe the Supremes will likely agree that the president really does run the executive office, period.
Right. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the minutia of the litigation, right? And the devil is always in the details.
Yeah.
So, you know, is this an overreach because only Congress has the ability to that? So the court could look at this and say, essentially, since you're using federal funds, you're taxing the American people, and this is a tax, and only the Congress has the ability to issue a tax. That's what they basically did with the health care law.
Correct.
They said this is a tax, and Congress has to do it, and Congress passed it, so therefore it's legal. So you can expect something like that, right? And that doesn't check the power of the president. That just says you're using funds for something like this, so you have to do that. Now, what's going to be really interesting, I think, two other issues is that, you know, you have a lot of activity on the border right now, right? And so I think there's some sympathy for it. But then on the other side of that, you have two kids who died in custody, right, who were awaiting asylum and permission to come over here. That's not a good look either. So either way it goes, right now we know there has to be some type of action. And we also know, unfortunately, this president has boxed himself in and is saying he has to get some kind of a wall. He has to get something. And then you have the Democrats who cannot. And they talk about it all the time. I see it on social media, Rashad. People say, well, you know, Schumer and Pelosi previously voted for us to allocate money, $1 billion or this, that, or the other for some type of a wall. Happened under Obama. This is a different day and time. And this Democratic Congress and this speaker cannot allocate one penny for it.
You know why there's propaganda on both sides here?
What's that?
Because there was a time when Democrats were okay with some form of a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are not. There was a time when Republicans talked about holistic border security. Now they're only talking about a wall. They both are hypocritical.
Absolutely.
Both sides. All right.
If something does need to be done. Yeah. I do agree with that. Something has to be done. But I don't, I want to be clear, I don't support a wall.
Yeah.
But we've got to do something with comprehensive immigration reform.
Comprehensive immigration reform. 404-892-2703. Let me jump to something local. Let's talk about MARTA expansion. Gwinnett County, at the center right now. MARTA expansion. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, back in 2014, we expanded MARTA for the first time ever down in Clayton County. And then in 2016, also by referendum, we expanded MARTA within the city limits of Atlanta. So now this is the first northern expansion, attempted northern expansion of MARTA. This is a vote that's going to take place in March, so it's an offbeat election. You know, and Gwinnett had an opportunity to put it on the ballot for this last November election, but they chose not to. Now, people can speculate as to why that is, but this is where we are. And so this is a referendum. It's open to all the registered voters in Gwinnett County. Again, it's in March, and this will determine whether or not you can get heavy rail and you see an expansion of the system, the current system, into Gwinnett County. And so it's extremely significant. And this is, you know, an area that up until here recently, probably 4 years ago, was a bastion of Republicanism, where we saw it go blue for Hillary and we saw it go blue for Stacey Abrams last year. So in a regular election. Now,
well, that's the exact reason why it was not on the ballot. I know you can't say that
on
the record.
I can neither confirm nor deny
right.
Reported this time.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens during this offbeat election cycle. That means you have to motivate people to get up, to actually participate, and to really give a damn about it one way or the other.
One way or the other. And I tell you, you know, it's always easier to motivate opposition than it is, you know, support. And unlike what we did in Clayton in 14 and Atlanta in 16, those campaigns that I ran, you know, you actually have a hard project list out there right now. And there's not a whole lot on there for people in the northern part of the county, in Buford, off of Sugarloaf and over in Peachtree Corners. So you're going to have to deal with that, right? You're going to have to deal with the project list as a candidate, which is always easier to oppose something again than it is to garner and beat up support for it. So there's going to be a lot of attention on getting black folks and getting Democrats out to vote. It's I think right now, in my opinion, you know, it's the toss-up.
All right. We got more on the other side. 404-892-2703. I'm here with Fred Hicks, nonpartisan political consultant and president, founder of HEG Political Consulting. Thank you, brother, for being with us. We got more. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Okay. Back to Gwinnett County, Fred. Gwinnett County has an off-election to see if MARTA should expand in Gwinnett County.
Absolutely.
During off-election elections, Republicans ruled the day. We can talk about Hillary Clinton winning Gwinnett County. We can talk about Stacey Abrams inching out a victory in Gwinnett County. But the truth is, that happens in major election cycles, not offbeat elections.
Absolutely. That is correct. You know, and what's really interesting to me is you look at regular primaries. So last year in Gwinnett County, we elected our first ever African-American judge in the history of it, Rhonda Colvin Leary, and Gwinnett has the oldest Superior Court in Georgia. And so you're thinking, wow, this is great. This is amazing. She won this field, in a good race. And then in the runoff, you had someone like Veronica Cope, right, who was extremely qualified, was absolutely just destroyed, you know, because, again, in the runoff, you have a very Republican electorate. So, you know, Veronica managed to clear the field in May, she would have been in a different situation. You come back in November and you see Stacey Abrams wins Gwinnett, right? And then you look at other offbeat elections, you say, wait a minute. You know, in general elections, when minorities are motivated to come out, it's great. So in this election, if trends hold, you expect that you'd have a fairly Republican turnout. And so for the life of me, I can't understand why why you would make a full-on just Democratic effort out there and hire on, you know, maybe a Democratic strategist or consultant to do that when you need to reflect, you need to reflect the community. On top of that, what's interesting to me is that you need to have people on board who understand how to win elections. Personally, I wouldn't hire really anyone who's associated with the T-Splash in 2012. That was a spectacular failure. So, you know, when you look at this and you look at the effort, you can go to the old good old boy network and go to the approach that you've taken in the past. But the reality is that if they take a Democratic approach with a Democratic strategist in this, it makes the opposition very easy, right? I can talk to the people, I being anyone, could talk to the people in Buford or people in different parts, Dacula, and say, hey, the Democrats are trying to take over and solidify Gwinnett and take Gwinnett away from you. So, you know, I don't understand some of the things that I'm hearing and seeing out there because it doesn't make sense, it's not prudent, and it's not in alignment with what we see out there. So it's just boggling to me.
So you're saying basically if this is ran as a Democrat-lite type campaign, even though it's an issues-based campaign, you're saying that politically, conservatives who oppose MARTA will have a stronger voice in that opposition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have two things. You have people, you have conservatives, and you have people who live outside of the area. So again, you need people who know what in the world they're doing with this. This is too important and too significant for it to be a slap on the back and contracts handed out like that, which is what people are afraid of in general. So you need, with something like this, you actually need to step up and step in and have a community feel. And you need to make sure that you are addressing the concerns of the entire Gwinnett community as opposed to coming at it from one point of view that is going to backfire or can very well backfire.
There's one argument that I've heard offline, and some people are bold enough to say it even publicly, that if you put public transportation, if you put a MARTA inside of a new area, you will increase crime.
You'll increase crime, you'll decrease property values, it doesn't really reduce traffic, you know, all those things like that, right? They say those things. We have not seen that take place in Clayton County. As a matter of fact, crime and MARTA areas in the campaign that we did down there is actually lower than overall county.
And let me stop you there because, you know, I'm close to Victor Hill, Sheriff Victor Hill. Mm-hmm. He will echo that.
Yeah.
He will echo what you just said, that they have not seen any type of spike in crime given the expansion of MARTA. And that was an assumption by many law enforcement officials.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, and it was it was erroneous, right? I mean, because
like who catches the bus to commit a crime?
Right. You're going to put that 52 or 55-inch flat screen LG right. on the bus with you and then get
exactly.
And then up to College Park and then get on the train and all
yeah.
that. You know,
when you really think about the connection between a person catching a bus and a person committing crime, it's really insanity to think there's a true connection between people going to work primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Over 80% of the folks who are catching that MARTA are going to work. People going to work and then coming back home to commit crime. It's insane.
It's insane. And then how are you going to go all the way from you're going to go from College Park to Gwinnett, you know, to
right.
commit a crime and get back. And you just hope, whoa, boy, I get to Lindbergh.
Yeah.
Hope that train connects.
But that's an argument, and that argument will be made, especially in private meetings. You know that.
Private meetings and private homes around the dinner table. And when you have Democrats telling them how to vote and you have Democratic strategists and teams out there telling them how to vote, it really lends itself to doing that. So I'm hopeful that you'll see, again, as a transit proponent, one who's run these kind of campaigns and all that, I'm hopeful that there will be a wider viewpoint because I think this is critical, right? I mean, if we're really going to have regional transportation, if we're really going to figure out a way to deal with our traffic issue, then we've got to be multimodal, right? You know, you got to have bike lanes. I guess you have to have these darn scooters. But then you also
I don't know if those will stay around much longer. I think they're on the chopping block right now in the city of Atlanta.
It's surely over in Decatur.
Yeah, they are getting – okay. It was fun at first. I've never ridden one. I see them everywhere, and now they're becoming a nuisance because when I'm walking down the sidewalk, I have to move out the way. There's somebody behind me saying, excuse me, move, and it's a guy on a scooter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a dope scooter.
Right, don't have neon lights, don't have a little horn on it. Bam, bam,
right.
Bam. You don't have any of that.
None of that stuff, man. Put some bells and whistles on that thing.
Put some bells and whistles. You know, but what really annoys me, and I think it's cool, I support multimodal means of transit and transportation, but they just drop them anywhere, right?
That's
the
issue, man. It's litter. It becomes litter in certain communities. Now, if you go to the AU campus, they're everywhere,
right?
You go to certain sections of the city, they are everywhere, and then they're left everywhere. I've even seen, I kid you not, I wish I could have recorded it, but I was driving on the expressway, and I do not use my phone and drive. Wink, wink.
No one does.
Right,
no,
exactly. It's against the law. There was a white female driving a scooter on the expressway on 75 North.
Wow.
Dude, when I tell you, and it was so interesting, Fred, because I was actually on my car phone. I was on the phone with Sharon Reed from CBS 46. Right. And we were talking about the news segment for later that day. And I'm on the phone with Sharon. I said, Sharon, there's a white woman driving a scooter on 75. And she said, oh, my God, can you record it? I said, I don't think so.
But anonymous recording.
Right, exactly. Right. I don't know how this came to me. But it's not only is it the litter, it's the safety issue. And you have now people going on social media to intentionally destroy them.
Oh, really?
Right. There's a whole thing. I told you guys, I don't condone violence or the destruction of property.
Correct.
However, if it comes across my social media line, I will review it every now and then. But there's this thing now where residents are upset about these scooters being outside of their property, being outside of their homes, mm-hmm. being inside of their communities. They are now taking these scooters and they are literally breaking them on social media.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know, but that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I've seen them in Buckhead. I've seen them on Memorial Drive going into Decatur. I've seen them sitting around the courthouse in Decatur.
Man, I see them in the hood.
Yeah.
They are in the hood. I get my hair cut over at West End Mall, by the West End Mall, right? Go to the hood. Everywhere.
You know, and there's this thing in transit land here in Atlanta that we talk about, this last mile connectivity, right? Mm-hmm. You can't put a MARTA station next to everyone's door.
Correct.
You can't have a bus stop and all that. So how do you get people within a mile of their destination? And so scooters can, I mean, they have the potential to address that issue, right? But, you know, you can't have them just everywhere. You need to have, like, bike stands, scooter stands.
Well, I think that becomes the compromise at some point. That becomes the compromise because right now you can leave them literally anywhere.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of penalty for that, you know,
right.
$25 charge. And it seems to me that you should be able to geotag, a geofence, and no offense to any bird or Lime lobbyist or Lyft lobbyist who might be listening to this today. But, you know, you can't do this. And it just happened, like, overnight. And now you know that Lyft is in the game and Uber's going to get in the scooter game as well. So you're going to have at least four different major companies trying to do this thing around Atlanta, and that's crazy. But this comes back to – brings me all the way back to Gwinnett and this particular campaign that, you know, the voters are going to have questions and those questions need to be answered. And, you know, what we did in Clayton and what we did in Atlanta was we built coalitions, right? Community coalitions of various stakeholders to make sure that people felt like they were involved. And we were very local. And I think that with this campaign, you're going to have to do the very same thing, whatever groups are getting involved with that, and it'd be very intentional.
All right, we got more on the other side. I'm taking your calls, 404-892-2703. Call me up. I'm taking your calls on the other side of the break, 404-892-2703. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. What's happening? Welcome back, 404-892-2703. Phone lines are jam-packed. Got Fred in the building, Fred Hicks. Political strategist extraordinaire. All right, let's take some calls, man. Let's do that. Fred, you ready to take some calls?
I am ready.
All right, let's do it. I got Vincent calling from Jonesboro. Vincent, good day. Welcome.
Let me call you. I'll try to get in later, Richie. I'm in the doctor's office.
Okay, Vincent. That brother dedicated, though.
Oh, wow. Hey, good job.
That brother in the doctor's office on hold listening to the program. I'm not mad at you, brother. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Make sure you tell the doctor staff about the show. Right. Right. Realest Man on Radio, RashadRichie.com. 404-892-2703. Let's go to Spencer calling from College Town. Spencer, good day. Welcome.
Good day, Rashad.
Good day, sir.
And I'd just like to thank you for your service, your continued service.
Thank you.
You're talking about some very pertinent things that's going on. But them scooters,
mm-hmm.
The thing I don't like about them is what happens when they collide with a walking individual.
Well, that has happened many times.
Mm. I can imagine. And you notice every city, in countries like China, people ride bicycles, but they ride in a group. All the bicycles are right here. And in England, they ride bicycles, but they are worn a pedestrian. I was walking down the sidewalk over here, Richard, and a guy went by me on a 10-speed. I would estimate the speed to be about maybe 45 miles an hour, at least.
That's a very fast bicycle.
That's a really fast bicycle.
Yeah.
No.
Are you sure, Spencer?
Going downhill.
Yeah.
A 10 speed.
Right.
You got these nice wide sidewalks over here. Thanks to our councilwoman, Miss Winslow, and others.
Right. Yeah.
But suppose I decided to take a step to my left.
Yeah. You would have had a good lawsuit.
Rashad.
Yes, sir.
Can you get, what's that old expression? Can you get blood out of a turnip or something like that?
Right.
Well, young man, you steal my shining knight in armor. I just listen to the show and enjoy you getting on these folks. I just sit back, just like the king sitting back, letting the night take care of me.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Spencer. I appreciate you, man. Yeah. Bob Spencer, do me a favor, brother. Eat some bread and take a nap, brother. That's my guy. 404-892-2703. Let's go to Sharon in Atlanta. Sharon, good day. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hey, Sharon, how are you?
I'm good. You gave Spencer some good advice. He's feeling good.
That's right. Right, exactly.
I'm in agreement with you guys about the scooter ordinance. However, it does put a lot of the contractors that pick the scooters up, probably put them out of work if they get rid of them. I don't know.
Yeah, they will. I mean, they will absolutely be out of work for the city of Atlanta. But remember this, Sharon, these scooters are everywhere. This is these are national movements, national companies in urban cities all throughout the United States of America. The truth is, Atlanta was kind of behind on this movement of scooters.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'm in agreement because I was almost mowed down by one also, so I understand.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents.
All right. Thank you, Sharon.
Love you guys.
Love you back. 404-892-2703. Is this Aye? Okay. I assume this is Aye. Southeast Atlanta. Good day. Welcome.
You don't have to assume a credence to your brother, Rashad. I'm in your stomping grounds. I'm down here on Peter, and I wanted you to know about this ancient Ethiopian restaurant that's called Art. And
what is it called?
Art Cafe.
Ethiopian.
Ethiopian. It's good. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yes.
I've never been there.
Yes, it's good stuff. Now, don't go hungry because it's going to take about 30 or 45 minutes for your food to come out. But
okay.
It's really good.
It's good when it gets there.
I think he just convinced me I'm through with carnivorous food because he just gave me lamb and it's tough as toenails and I don't like it.
Well, that's not Caribbean food. They're Ethiopian.
Excuse me?
So they're Ethiopian over there at Arts Cafe. It's not Caribbean.
No, I say Ethiopian food.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right.
That's okay.
So Aye, you want to call to talk about the restaurant?
No, I want to give you that sidebar, but the reason why I call you because I wanted to call and say to both of you and to the family, happy Pan-African liberation versus unhappy political humiliation. And I want us to be aware that, you know, January 1st is Dr. John Henry Clark Day. And if you don't know who Dr. John Henry Clark Day, it is a deficit in your scholarship of understanding liberation. So now I wanted to tell you this and let you go, Brother Fred.
Yes, ma'am.
Regarding your advice about Negroes need to support, how did you say it, comprehensive immigration reform thing? Let me tell you this, Brother Fred. I've forgotten about it, but it came back to memory. Said, do you know 87 cents out of every dollar that is lent to the government for income tax, it is unearned income. And in 1860, our people are no more richer now than they was in 1850. We have not gained one iota in terms of wealth in this country. So I wanted to ask you, would you agree that as black people, we should advocate for past due economic compensation, 25 years no taxation, separate land reservation, and on a serious and unapologetic level of our liberation? That's what I'm talking about. It is a political distraction. We need African liberation and African unification.
Okay.
So you gonna talk black to me?
Thank you, Aye. Appreciate your call. Basically, you're she's right. asking, do you believe in reparations for black people?
Yeah, you know, so I think three things. I think number one, that reparations is not going to happen. So we need to look forward. And, you know, I celebrate Kwanzaa every year. And so I believe very much in cooperative economics and supporting black communities and shopping black. So I think we need to look forward and we need to focus on that. And we need a great comprehensive database of black business and black services so that we can then spend our money there. I think number two, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about this year is that this is 2019. This is the 400th anniversary of the Jamestown colony settlement, right, when slave ships first arrived here. And so when we talk about African liberation, I think that without recognition of the history and making a poignant effort to recognize this historical year for us, we are damaging ourselves. So, Rashad, I'm going to challenge you to throughout this year to remind folks that this is the 400th anniversary of our forced arrival here, right?
And okay, then, we can do that.
Yeah. And then third, you know, ultimately we got to make sure we have financial success ourselves so we can then have money to spend, so we need to be good about our money.
I think that's all well and good. Your answers are great. But I believe in reparations for black people, and let me tell you why. Because America believes in reparations. We have engaged in reparations for the Japanese, for Jews, for Vietnam, for Native Americans. We have all given them some form of reparations, more so with Native Americans through land, okay? But not
the reservations?
Yeah, and there's a debate of the appropriateness of that level of reparations, and I'm okay with that debate. But they got something. They got something. The American former slave or the ancestor of slaves, they have not received that level of reparations. So it's not an argument if America can or cannot do it. They are willing to do it for other groups. Why not the conversation for those in America, Africans?
I'm not opposed to reparations. I think that we need to acknowledge our history. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge the wrongs and ills and all of that. I don't think we can do 40 acres in a mule, but I fully support reparations. I just don't see it happening, right? I mean, heck, we can't even get Section 2 of the Voting Rights Clause, right?
A simple issue of protecting our right to vote is tough.
Absolutely. And you can't get the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, through there, right? That just says, hey, women should have the same rights. But, you know, of course I support reparations, and we have done it at different points in our past. You know, and then people would say, well, how do you determine who qualifies, right? Is it someone who's 75% black, 100% black, 25% black? Are you going to contract with 23andMe and Amazon and give them the money to do the testing? You know, what is that guy who had 4% black in his history?
Right, now he wants to qualify. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Great questions. We got more on the other side. Fred, thank you, man. How can people connect with you?
Thank you. Hey, I'm on social media on Instagram and Twitter at Hicks Report. That's HICKSREPORT. Hicks Report, black guy on there. You can't miss me. Of course, you can always go to our website, hickspolling.com. That's HICKSpolling.com. But please do hit me up on social media, Hicks Report, on Twitter and Instagram.
And listen, Fred is my real friend. I'm talking about friend for real. He knows stuff about me that I can't talk about on radio.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man, do you remember we used to go out to that club?
Nope, okay. Don't remember right. anything. Yep. I wasn't there. Wrong person. That was Ted.
Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
All right, News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.